WREF 97.7 FM ESPN Radio presents Tracy Archuleta on Baseball, an hour-long live radio show featuring the head coach of the University of Southern Indiana Screaming Eagles and members of this year's team. Tracy Archuleta on Baseball is brought to you by The Rooftop Restaurant, Banterra Bank, and by Master Tire. Tracy Archuleta on Baseball is also brought to you by Mark's Barbecue and by Torian Insurance, Andy Dillo agent. Now live from the rooftop in downtown Evansville, here is USI baseball coach Tracy Archuleta and the host of the show, Dan Ogurski.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tracy Archuleta on Baseball, live here at the rooftop with you for the next 60 minutes talking USI baseball. And then after that, it'll be college basketball. Then the national championship game tonight between North Carolina and Kansas. You had Creighton in the finals, right?
I had Creighton in the finals, yeah. That was my heart. That was my heart going there. Who'd you have?
Let's see, who did I have? I had, in one pool, I had Duke get into the final game, but I was like everybody else around the country. You know, you figure one of these years Gonzaga's going to get there, and the way Arizona was playing and Purdue and everybody else, I didn't really have a dark horse this year. I was pulling, obviously, for Bruce and Auburn to get there, and man, after about the second round of the tournament, it was just like, okay, let's just make a paper airplane out of this bracket and throw that in the garbage. So, yeah, I did not do very well then. I don't know how much money I lost this last 3 weeks.
Well, I'm glad I can't bet, so I couldn't lose any money. See, I hope Alex Eaton's listening, so she has that on record.
Okay.
So North Carolina or Kansas? Who do you got? Now, who do you want? Who do you have? Who do you think is going to win?
I think Kansas, but I want North Carolina.
I think all of us, except for Jason Fleck. He does not. He wants Kansas to win because Deb wants North Carolina. So
okay.
All right. Here we go.
Fair enough.
I'm with you.
House divided.
House is divided.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. And
far apart they're sitting right here.
I know. I know. It's unbelievable. And I know Zeller back there took Gonzaga because he takes Gonzaga every year. So I'm sure he did too. So, hey, what a great week we have, though. We have the Masters.
Yes.
We have the National Championship and Opening Day.
Opening Day.
Like, yep. This is the best week in sports for me, anyway. I'm excited about it. It's going to be an exciting time. And we play Springfield, I guess. I guess there's the other.
You got to do that. All right, so let me ask you this. I mean, obviously you go up there and you play, what is it, single, doubleheader Saturday,
yeah,
single game?
For our fourth straight year, I might add.
Yeah.
It's our fourth straight year going to Springfield.
So how does that happen?
You tell me. You tell me how that
happened. Do I need to call somebody?
Hey, if you'd call, that'd be great. Because they were supposed to come this year to USI, and then I get an email from Mr. Namovich and says that, hey, we have too many home games, so we're going back to Springfield. So, well, it is what it is. So we're going back to Springfield for our fourth straight year. Ethan has been here for 5 years, correct, Ethan, now? And his last time to Springfield was at home was in 2018.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I will say this. The parting words that I had for the commissioner after the basketball team lost in the GLVC tournament, let's just say my departing words for the commissioner probably took about 3 seconds to say. That was it.
Well, there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your baseball team. This past week, midweek game at Maryville, one of those games where it was kind of 12-0, I think, at one point, and then you guys kind of fought back and got the deficit down to about half that. Ended up losing 15-8, and then with Quincy coming in, kind of the start of the conference season, and had a chance to watch the game on Friday night. Poor Spencer Wagner was lights out that night. But Spencer Walker. And then obviously getting the split on Saturday, and then coming back yesterday. No, I mean, again, you think, well, the opening weekend of the conference, you know, against a quality team like Quincy, you know, really a huge game yesterday, the way that you guys were able to win it. With those three runs in the bottom of the eighth, and then kind of close the door in the ninth when things got a little bit dicey. But all in all, just kind of thoughts of the week.
I'm going to go back to your opening statement. You were really nice on the Maryville. This team so far, we just don't know what we're going to get. Sometimes we come out and we're scoring a bunch of runs. Sometimes we're coming out and we're giving up a bunch of runs. And then all of a sudden, we're one of the best teams in the region. And like, it's, we have no consistency. We haven't had any consistency. And that's been the biggest, I guess, stress for me, is just trying to get them to be consistent on what we're doing. And it's, and you always look at a season and you think it's one thing. You know, you think it's the pitching or the hitting or defensively. And each game, it's just, it's been something different. And that's what's been really tough. And I know it's been really tough for them too, because them going in and thinking that this is going to happen and then it doesn't. And it's been a real test for us. But at the same time, when you look at our opponents, and we talked about it early in the year, our opponents have been really tough. I think we go down to Young Harris, and they're ranked in the top 25, and they're doing really well. We come back to Lake Erie, we lose one game that we really shouldn't. Trevecca was a top 10 team. Davenport was in the regional last year. We have Delta State, West Florida, and then we come in Quincy, and every game has been a really big test. And it's good that we're sitting here, and I think we talked about it earlier, just to be just a little bit above 500 or 500 is what I kind of expected from this club, because they are younger and they're going to have some bumps and bruises. And like you said, that Quincy game, that last game on Sunday was big for us, because they took three or four from UIS, us getting, you know, two from them. Now we go into UIS in another big series, and probably those are probably the top two teams in there that we have to take care of business. Not that, you know, Truman State and Indianapolis and S&T are not, but in normal things that are going on, those are the teams that we have to be really good against. And then as we get going through the season, you know, we're going to have to take care of business and hit a little bit of a winning streak in here. If we can get through this week and hopefully take three or four in a tough place to win at UIS, hopefully we can get some things rolling and really move through that month of April. Month of April is really big for us. Really big for us in the conference.
Well, and that's the thing too, Trace. I mean, you look at past teams for USI that have had success and have ended their season at Cary, North Carolina, and there's always been a part of the season where you just got to, I hate to use the term flip the switch, but it just seems like there's always been a part of those successful seasons where one weekend really just kind of, you guys do a 180. You take three out of four, you feel really good, and then you go on and you win maybe 12 out of 14 games. And, I mean, you know, as we talk about this conference and the fact that you open up the season, conference part of the season, with Quincy, team picked to finish second in the Blue Division, then you go to Springfield for your next conference weekend, and the Prairie Stars were picked to win the Blue Division. It's like, okay, when do we see teams like Southwest Baptist and Rockhurst and some of these other teams that are going to struggle? So, as tough as this non-conference part of your schedule has been, as young as this team is, people say, well, what's wrong with USI? I'm like, well, they've got a freshman behind the plate. They've got guys that pitch that when they're not pitching, they're still hitting. They're playing other positions. I mean, they're still trying to find themselves and find their identity. And any team that develops that kind of chemistry sooner rather than later is going to have success. And you guys are still searching for it, but we're still right about only the halfway part of the season.
And you're right on the searching part. And the searching is, like you said, is getting the young kids to figure out their roles has been the biggest issue. Like, understanding that when you're down three or four runs, you know, it's not about getting hits. It's about having quality at-bats. And, you know, after you give up a two-spot, say you give up a two-run home run in there, it's about making the next pitch. And that's what we really had trouble with. We've had trouble with teams going out and scoring a couple runs, and then it snowballs on us. And then it's a five or six spot instead of a one or two spot. And that's what we really did well in the three games against Quincy on Saturday and Sunday, is we limited ourselves. Barnett, I mean, Sammy did just a great job in both of his outings, and really kept the game where we needed to be. Our starters are kind of filling themselves out. You know, Parker Maddox threw two really good games against West Florida, Delta State, and then comes out here and he's rough. But then we get some good innings from some guys in there like Sammy, and is able to hold out and to make a run in there. And that's the difference. I mean, that's what we have to continue to do. Guys have to step up, and hopefully we can find that those guys in there. And we're starting to feel it. I mean, we're starting to get a lineup out there that we feel good about. I mean, you mentioned Coburn. Coburn's been swinging the bat well for us. He's done a really good job. And then he gets hit in the head. McLarty comes in. And McLarty, Gavin, had one of the best at-bats at the end of the game and just fouled off pitches. Had a big hit in Sunday's game for us and got a double. Gavin A. really stepped up for us when we needed him.
Well, and that was the thing. You know, you go into yesterday's game, I mean, it's just kind of back and forth. You know, they throw the first punch, then you guys come right back and tie the game. They take the lead at the top of the fourth or fifth, whatever it was. You guys came right back and tied it. So, you know, probably 3-4 weeks ago, a team scores 2 or 3 runs against you, and it's all right, everybody's heads down, and, okay, this is just not our day. Let's just play for another day. But yesterday you guys kept battling back, and then when you were able to, you know, take that 3-run lead after the eighth, and then, again, they make it 6-4. They've got the tying run at the plate, and the bullpen comes in, shuts down, makes great pitches, and everybody feels good about themselves going 2-2 against a team that, as you said, took 3 out of 4 the previous week against Illinois Springfield.
You know, and yesterday, Quincy comes out, scores 2 runs in the first, and then we answer. That's big. And, you know, they get up on us, and this is the first, I mean, it was a 1-run comeback, but this is the first time that we've been able to come back when we've been down. I mean, and that's the key. The key is being able to answer, and we talk about it, you know, and to be able to do it, and I think a lot of what happens is they put a lot of pressure on themselves. Like, I have to get a hit. You know, it's not about getting a hit. It's about quality at-bats. And just like you said, that game on Sunday, I mean, hey, we got a big call early, you know, that I think thought it went our way. And there's some different things. Baseball, I mean, it's a game of luck at times. And we were fortunate, but we took advantage of that. And that was the thing. We were able to take advantage of the opportunities that we had. And that was fun about it. And hopefully, like I said, we can carry this over into UIS, which is going to be a quality team.
So we're about the halfway point. Right now, 13-13. You look, you said that's kind of where you thought it would be with the type of non-conference schedule that you put together. So do you see this team now growing up with each passing game that you play?
I do. I do because I think they've been tested from pitch one. From pitch one of the season, when we go into Young Harris, I really do feel that they have been put in situations that are big at all times. And I think when you go in and you play at Davenport, when you go to West Florida, who's in the Gulf South, and we beat them whatever 5-1 and lose 1-0 in close ball games, I think that's the type of stuff that we want to instill in them that, hey, this is basic, you know, this is what has to happen at the end of the year. Because you're gonna have to win, you know, 10 games in a row at the end of the year in order to get to the where we want to be. And hopefully this prepares them for that and they're used to that and it's not new. That's the big thing.
So playing kind of the first conference, even though the games with Maryville and Drury conference teams, they don't count toward the conference standings. But just as far as this team and some of these young guys that are now in key roles for you, whether it's pitching, whether it's defense, whether it's just, you know, designated hitter, whatever the case is, they kind of got a taste of what the rest of this season now is going to be about.
And the big thing is, I mean, when you look at the starters that we've seen, the guys that we're seeing are 88-91. The guy that we're going to see in game 4 at UIS is going to be 94-96 with a slider at 82. I mean, those are the things that we're trying to prepare them for. Like, it's not the 94-96 is going to be new. I mean, but UIS is going to roll out guys. They're going to be 88-91, and the velocity in that is not going to be new to them. If we would have played a softer schedule and in there, and they're seeing 82-86 in there with, you know, secondary stuff not very good, that would be a tough adjustment for us. And I feel that we've seen enough good arms in that role and seen enough good hitting clubs like Drury, like Maryville, and we can keep going down the list, that they know that they can't just go in there and flip a ball for pitch one, because all of a sudden it's a double and then we have to get going. So they understand how important each pitch is.
All right, you got a pretty good lineup of guests here tonight.
We do. We had former assistant Andy Lasher, now head coach at Oakland City. We're going to be playing them next week on Wednesday. He told me the other day he can't wait to beat me, and I said the same thing back to him. It'll be good. I was at the game the other day, and he was playing his boss of how many years, Lasher, Conley. How many years were you with Conley? 5 years with Coach Conley, and I was over there watching that game a little bit, and now getting to play Lash, and he's doing a great job. I mean, Oakland City is a much better club that is playing really well, and I know they took one from IU Southeast, which is one of the premier programs in the NAI and in their conference, and that was a big win for him. And then we have Corey Edwards going to talk about the Hot Stove League. Corey's going to come in and just talk a little bit about what was going on with the Hot Stove this past year with the events, and then what he has upcoming. So looking forward to that. And you know, the only person we're missing here tonight is you know, is Mindy Dillo. I mean, I don't know why she didn't come with Andy, but she didn't. And but well, hey, we're going to make sure. But Danita Wolf came here. She was here at 5:15. Danita
yes.
was ready to roll. She says, "Where's everybody at?" So we got to get here earlier. So Danita has some people here to hang out with. So but we had a good crew. And not, hey, not to forget Ethan Hunter's here too. Ethan's been playing well.
All right, so he got leading off.
Let's start with Andy Lasher. Let's go with Lash. Let's see what Lash has to say.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. We're live at the Rooftop. Tracy Archuleta on baseball here on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref. The Rooftop is home to this year's Tracy Archuleta on baseball show on ESPN Radio. The Rooftop, located in the heart of downtown Evansville at 112 Northwest Martin Luther King Boulevard, is open 7 days a week with a full-service menu ranging from delicious appetizers, huge sandwiches, and several specialty pizzas. The Rooftop serves up house specials every day as well as a wide selection of both draft and bottled beer. There is also a special menu before and after downtown events. The Rooftop Restaurant, dine in or carry out. We'll see you on the roof.
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Torian Insurance is Evansville's oldest and newest insurance agency. Since 1923, this locally owned full-service insurance agency has been giving advice you can trust and answers you can understand. At Torian Insurance, they know not all insurance is created equal and invite you to discover what's different. Torian Insurance, working for you and providing peace of mind. 3000 East Division Street or phone 812-424-5503. Visit their new website at torianinsurance.com and tell them Dan Agurski sent you.
Tires are tires, right? Wrong. Don't take a chance with your tires. At Zeller's Master Tire, we know tires, and we offer the best tires from some of the industry's most experienced tire producers. We'll get the right tire for your lifestyle, and we'll put them on your vehicle at the lowest installed price. I'm Blake Zeller at Zeller's Master Tire, and we want to service all your automotive needs and with no appointment needed. Zeller's Master Tire, located on Columbia Street and First Avenue, and our West Side location on the corner of Red Bank and the Lord Expressway.
The USI Baseball Alumni Award, in which Coach Archuleta and the team a successful season in 2022. Todd DeWeese, Steve Grease, Jeremy Jones, Larry Nall, Steve Ricketts, and Craig Shoebridge are former players who wish the team the best of luck as they pursue their third national championship. Also wishing the team great success in their last year of Division II are former players Ryan Bertram, Andrew Cope, Kyle Kemp, Brent Weinzapfel, and Gene World. The USI Baseball alumni say, go Eagles, and have a great year. Back from Rooftop, Tracy Archuleta of baseball with you until 7 o'clock. This segment, Andy Lasher, who was the coach for Oakland City, spent some time with Coach Archuleta on his staff at USI that took the job at Oakland City. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. All right, so first year at OCU, right?
Second.
All right,
year.
So yeah. Let's just talk a little bit about kind of your days, Andy, at USI. And then I know when T-Ray took the job as the athletic director up there at Oakland City, the opening for baseball was there. So just kind of that whole thought process you went through about leaving USI and taking having your own team up there in Oakland City.
It was really odd, actually, because when I was at USI, that was the COVID year, if you remember.
Yeah.
So we got canceled probably middle of March, I want to say.
Yes.
And, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks go by, something like that. We're not really, you know, there's no games, there's no practice. Nobody really knows what's going on. I'm just going to the field every day, working on the field. I don't even think Arch and Keister were allowed to be on campus at the time.
Yeah, probably right.
And I'd heard that I had interviewed for that job a week before the season got canceled. We were on our way, or we were getting ready to go to what was our last games at West Florida on spring break. And I ended up getting called probably it could have been 2 years ago to the day. I don't know the exact day, but I just know it was early April. And T-Ray offered me the job. I think I was out picking weeds on the right side of the infield whenever I got the phone call. So okay. Arch was excited for me.
Well, so what about, like I said, the job opens up at Oakland City. Mm-hmm. What was it about that program that attracted you to, again, go through the interview process and then ultimately get the job?
Well, it was close to home. I knew a few guys that had played there and enjoyed their time there. I'm from Newburgh. So I'm now living in Evansville. It's nice being close to home, and that was probably the main draw. But, you know, this is also my first opportunity to have a head coaching job in college that wasn't summer ball. So that's, you know, I think that's what most young assistants want, is an opportunity to be a head coach. And, you know, that was the first opportunity I had, and I definitely was interested in it, and I'm glad I got it.
What was the biggest transition you had, Andy? I mean, certainly when you make that step, and I don't care if you're a high school coach, a JV coach, or an assistant coach at the varsity level, and you take over, and, you know, so many more of the responsibilities now fall kind of on your shoulders. So what was the toughest part, and again, coming after a pandemic for your first year last spring?
Right. The first time that you're a head coach is hard enough, and then dealing with COVID on top of that in your first year with all the protocols certainly didn't – I don't think it made it easier, but I wouldn't know any better. That's the only time I've had to experience being a head coach for the first time. So it was difficult. It was challenging. Just going from an assistant to a head coach in general, you're right, it adds a lot more responsibilities. It's a lot less about baseball and a lot more about other things. Whereas when you're an assistant, it's the other way around. You're a lot more involved with on-the-field things, and you're not worried so much about travel and hotels and balancing all these other things. And that was, to me, the biggest difference.
Well, you know, up until a couple of years ago, Oakland City was a Division II, kind of an independent. You
yep.
guys have now, got a new conference, and I know we're talking to some of the two basketball coaches up there at Oakland City
yep.
with regard to that conference. They're excited to be a member of it. How about you and the baseball team?
Oh, I'm very excited. It's a great league. The travel, we're spread out probably from about where we're at to Pittsburgh, so it's really not too bad of travel, but I've enjoyed being in the conference. I know that the kids that were there before I got the job have enjoyed it way more, knowing that they're playing for something every year, a conference championship, as opposed to just playing people on their bye weeks, trying to find games to fill out the schedule. So that part's a lot more fun. You develop rivalries and relationships with, you know, people from other schools that are in your league. You're seeing the same people every year. It's a lot easier to gauge where you're at, I think, when you're playing the same people.
As college baseball and recruiting go around here, I mean, you take a look at, you know, what Tracy's done at USI over the years, kind of what we see some of the young men now that are playing for Coach Carroll, certainly down here at Oakland City. I mean, Southwest Indiana, you don't have to go too far beyond a 50-100-mile radius,
I would
think, to find good quality high school baseball players.
No, you're right, and I think now more than ever, because the high school teams, you know, just in the SIAC, just in general, or just the, you know, Warrick County, Vandenberg County, Gibson County, and DuBois County, there's some really, really good college baseball players, future college baseball players playing right now in high school, guys that may have a chance to play pro ball someday. Colson Montgomery, for example, first-round pick, that doesn't happen very often around here. There's a lot of future college baseball players playing right now. The 22 class, the 23 class are as good as I've seen around here in a long time.
All right, we'll talk about the 2022 Mighty Oaks. You guys right now, I think, sitting at 19-15, so 34 games. Obviously not been interrupted too many times because of rain. So we'll talk about some of the guys on your team having good years and your 19-15 start.
You might jinx us. I think we got a pretty good chance of getting rained out tomorrow looking at the forecast.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to play Lindsey Wilson. That's kind of up in the air right now. But we've definitely taken a step forward, I think, from last year to this year. We've played enough games now. I feel comfortable enough to say that. But The depth is there that we didn't have last year. If guys went down last year, we were kind of in trouble. Now we've been able to absorb those sorts of things. But we've had a couple of guys play really well for us, guys that have a chance to be all-conference. Chandler Dunn has played really well. He's a shortstop that has played just about every game or maybe a couple games at second base and been in the leadoff spot in the three-hole for us. Noah Bauer has been in the top of the order for us as well, and he's been really good for us in the outfield. Those two guys getting on base a lot and kind of making our offense go, and they've kind of been the catalyst for us so far.
So when Tracy called and wanted to see if you'd be interested in playing, how long did it take you to make your decision?
Wasn't even a thought. You know, we used to play, you know, when I was not involved with USI or Oakland City, they played, you know, pretty well every year, I think. And we tried to play last year, but again, COVID kind of messed that up for us because they were only allowed to play 40 games, and I think almost all of those games were scheduled to be conference games, so we ended up not getting to play. But, you know, as long as the weather is good the day we're supposed to play, I think we might actually be able to pull it off this year.
So I want to put you on the hot seat for just a second. Normally these midweek games, coaches kind of, it's a bullpen by committee as far as the pitching is concerned. So right. Is your number one going next Wednesday, or how are you going to do that?
He will not be. No, I'd love to beat USI and to beat Arch, but, you know, we have to win conference games. They have to do the same thing, and I know that probably wasn't always the case in years past, but now that we are in a conference, like we talked about, those are usually the games that take priority, and it'll be bullpen type of day most likely, and you know, I expect that's kind of what he's always done in the past, but sometimes you never really know because you might have games get moved around, and you know, it just comes down to who's available.
All right. As far as just your conference, how many conference games have you played so far, and is the updated standings, where are you?
We are, I want to say we're fifth right now, and there are nine teams. There were supposed to be 10, but actually one of the schools, Ohio Valley, former GMAC school, they joined our league, and then I want to say that the entire school shut down. So we only had nine this year. We'll have 10 next year. So we're smack in the middle right now, and we've got another – I think we've got four more opponents to play, so we're halfway through the schedule.
Good deal. Yep. Randy, I really appreciate a few minutes. Again, continue much success at Oakland City, and looking forward to seeing you guys next Wednesday.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Andy Lasher joining us. We'll come back with more of Tracy Archuleta Baseball Live on the Rooftop right after this on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Spring means graduation, weddings, and other outdoor events. Whatever brings family and friends together, let Mark's Barbecue take care of the food, from appetizers to a full catering menu, including chicken, pork, ham, or brisket, plus several side dishes and a delicious pie for dessert. Mark's Barbecue can help you plan that perfect get-together, and for a larger event, go hog wild with a whole roasted pig cooked to perfection. Mark's Barbecue also offers daily lunch specials Tuesday through Thursday. Locally owned and operated, it's Mark's Barbecue, 3119 West Maryland Street. Torian Insurance is Evansville's oldest and newest insurance agency. Since 1923, this locally owned full-service insurance agency has been giving advice you can trust and answers you can understand. At Torian Insurance, they know not all insurance is created equal and invite you to discover what's different. Torian Insurance, working for you and providing peace of mind. 3000 East Division Street or phone 812-424-5503. Visit their new website at torianinsurance.com. Tell them Dan Agurski sent you.
Tires are tires, right? Wrong. Don't take a chance with your tires. At Zeller's Master Tire, we know tires, and we offer the best tires from some of the industry's most experienced tire producers. We'll get the right tire for your lifestyle, and we'll put them on your vehicle at the lowest installed price. I'm Blake Zeller at Zeller's Master Tire, and we want to service all your automotive needs and with no appointment needed. Zeller's Master Tire, located on Columbia Street and First Avenue, and our west side location on the corner of Red Bank and the Lloyd Expressway.
An Evansville tradition for more than 50 years, Leroy's Tavern at 2659 Mount Vernon Avenue is a great place to watch all the games. And Leroy's also offers a delicious menu of sandwiches and pizzas. And don't forget about free soup Saturday every week while it lasts. Leroy's daily lunch special is just $7. And Busch Light drafts are just $1 Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Leroy's also has karaoke every Friday and Saturday night starting at 9. And don't forget about the family room open to all ages. Food, family, and sports. It's Leroy's Tavern. The USI Baseball Alumni Award wish Coach Archuleta and the team a successful season in 2022. Todd DeWeese, Steve Grease, Jeremy Jones, Larry Nall, Steve Ricketts, and Craig Shoebridge are former players who wish the team the best of luck as they pursue their third national championship. Also wishing the team great success in their last year of Division II are former players Ryan Bertram, Andrew Cope, Kyle Kemp, Brent Weinzapple, and Gene World. The USI Baseball alumni say, go Eagles, and have a great year.
Welcome back to Tracy Archuleta on Baseball, live here at the Rooftop with you until 7 o'clock tonight. This segment, we'll talk with senior shortstop Ethan Hunter. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Not bad. All right. Well, Ethan, I'll tell you what. I'm going to, right off the bat, had a chance to take in Friday's game. And I was sitting out there in the Nut Club deck with Gene World doing the ball game, and I think I got there about the bottom of the first inning, and I see you take the field on the top of the second. It's like 43 degrees out. You got short sleeves on. I'm like, man, that kid is tough.
Yeah, so the story about that is I'm pretty superstitious when it comes to, like, what I wear for baseball games, including, like, bracelets, whatever, my hat. I haven't changed hats in 5 years. So I couldn't find my sleeves before when I was leaving for the field. So I didn't want to wear anyone else's, so I guess I figured I would just freeze instead of wear someone else's.
So were you at all cold any part of that game?
I would say the first three innings I was fine, and then you start really cherishing running out to your position and running back because you warm up. And when you're on base, you don't really feel the cold, but when you're standing out there, you're kind of shivering and shaking.
Okay, all right. Well, just talk about the season up until now, Ethan. Certainly, 13-13, maybe not the record that everybody wants, but, Coach Archuleta said to me, this is kind of a young team right now, and I know they're kind of growing up right in front of everybody's eyes, but he thought this is about where the team would be after 26 games. Give me your thoughts on that.
I mean, when you're playing, and obviously I've been playing for USI for 5 years now, I've gotten to experience the preseason woes that we usually have, and to be honest, I think this might be the first time that we've been 26 games in and had an above 500 or 500 record. And we just have to keep into perspective how good the teams that we've been playing are and how well we've played them when we've played well. So I guess we try to, like, focus on the positive moments and kind of learn from our mistakes. Arch would preach.
During your career, you've not always played shortstop, right?
When I came in, funny story. I'll tell you a story about my visit. Arch told me that there were three shortstops that were better than me and that I would not see the field my freshman year. We walked out, and my mom goes, that dude doesn't like you. And I said, they win national championships. And she said, that's true. So I came. The guy that was playing shortstop ended up being way older than everyone thought he was, and I got a chance to play, and then I played shortstop the following year, and then I played second with Kobe Stevens the next 2 years.
See, that's what I remember. I was trying to think today who that double play combination, because I thought that you spent a couple of years at second base, and so this year was the year that you came back to play short, or was it last year?
This year was the year
okay,
I came back
so
to play short.
Okay, so obviously you played the position a long time. When you go back to second base and play that, any type of an adjustment, or do you just kind of feel right at home getting back to shortstop?
To be honest, I love playing second base, and it's probably my favorite position on the field. But going back to shortstop, it makes you lock in a little bit more. You have to focus a lot more on defense, whereas second base, you just kind of have to field and flick it. You have to be perfect at short. So that's really the only adjustment that I think I've had to make, and also just not letting defense affect offense, part of, like, maturing as a player, I think.
So, Ethan Hunter joining us here, Tracy Archuleta in baseball on this Monday night live here at the Rooftop. Let me ask you this, Ethan, just about now with Lucas playing second base. We've seen the development of Cordell behind the plate. How long has it taken as far as just your comfort level and Lucas's, just because obviously the shortstop and second baseman, I mean, you got to really know each other's tendencies.
Right.
So do you feel right now pretty comfortable with Lucas, and then you vice versa, you think he's comfortable with you as far as turning double plays and kind of the middle part of the infield?
I mean, I think you guys have seen Lucas play baseball long enough to know that he's a great ball player all around, and luckily he's one of my best friends on the team. So it didn't take any time for me to get used to playing with him just because we've known each other for 4 years now, and I'm very comfortable and confident in his ability to play any position on the field at USI.
What about the, you know, just like I said, the youth of this team? And certainly you look at pitchers, you look at, you know, some of these other guys playing some of these other positions. You're in a position now of leadership on this team. So just talk a little bit about having that responsibility for this young baseball team.
I kind of just think back to when I was a freshman and all of the guys that were on the 2018 team that were fifth years that went out of their way to take care of me and make sure that I knew when I messed up and I knew when I did well. And I try to kind of transfer that into the underclassmen now and kind of keep their heads on straight, as well as letting them know that it's their job to keep my head on straight too. Like, we kind of just hold each other accountable all the time.
Is it hard? I mean, when you were a freshman and you would make a mistake, certainly you felt really bad about it. The upper, the juniors and seniors on the team, upperclassmen, just as far as not making you feel like this tall. And then, you know, now you guys are in a position where, you know, there's been some growing pains in the first 26 games, certainly that. But then the patience that you have as a senior leader on this team with these guys, knowing that with each mistake, hopefully that's a learning tool for them, that they will not repeat that mistake over and over again.
Yeah, and baseball's a really humbling game, so you kind of have to be careful like what you say to people, knowing that in the back of your mind you could always make that same mistake too. So I kind of just try to, as an upperclassman, make sure that everyone in the infield is ready, knows what they need to do when they get the ball, and then when it comes to practice, just knowing that the harder we work in practice, the easier the game's going to be, and I try to lead them by example in that fashion.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, Coach Archuleta, we talked at the beginning about the difficulty of this schedule. And mm-hmm. So, you know, this past weekend, talk about the importance of getting that series, the split with Quincy. Mm-hmm. You'd certainly like to win maybe three or four since it was at home, but just to come back and the way that you guys won yesterday leading into now this weekend's trip to Springfield.
I would say annually, probably two of the best teams in our conference every year are Quincy and Springfield. And I think that it's good that we kind of get to play them early in the season and then catch back up, per se, late in the season and get hot before postseason. But the way we play Quincy, when we play well, it makes me think that UIS will be the same way. And if we play well, then I think we're a force to be reckoned with throughout the rest of the season.
All right. So after this year, your final year of eligibility for USI, any plans to maybe play competitive baseball after this year or getting a degree and getting kind of into the professional field?
I think as of right now that I'm moving to Indianapolis and I've got a job lined up in logistics and brokering, so I'm looking forward to that. I think in order for me to get drafted, I'd probably have to grow 3 inches and hit 20 home runs. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, but, you know, you look at it, Ethan, I mean, hitting 337, I think anything over 300, obviously, people take. So are you're never going to be completely satisfied, but just are you kind of where you thought you would be, and how satisfied are you with where you are right now?
I think Arch mentioned this on the first show, and I know he did because my mom told me, but I am terrible at hitting curveballs, specifically laying off of curveballs in the dirt, and that's something that I'll always be working toward, laying off of curveballs in the dirt. But other than that, offensively, I just try to do my job. Just if I got to get a bunt down, I'll get a bunt down. If I got to hit a ground ball, then I'll try to hit a ground ball.
All right, good deal. Well, Ethan, appreciate you coming by the show here tonight. Good luck in Springfield.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Ethan Hunter. We'll come back. Corey Edwards will join us. This is Tracy Archuleta on Baseball here on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Rep. The Rooftop is home to this year's Tracy Archuleta on Baseball show on ESPN Radio. The Rooftop, located in the heart of downtown Evansville at 112 Northwest Martin Luther King Boulevard, is open 7 days a week with a full-service menu ranging from delicious appetizers, huge sandwiches, and several specialty pizzas. The Rooftop serves up house specials every day, as well as a wide selection of both draft and bottled beer. There is also a special menu before and after downtown events. The Rooftop Restaurant. Dine in or carry out. We'll see you on the roof.
Tires are tires, right? Wrong. Don't take a chance with your tires. At Zeller's Master Tire, we know tires, and we offer the best tires from some of the industry's most experienced tire producers. We'll get the right tire for your lifestyle, and we'll put them on your vehicle at the lowest installed price. I'm Blake Zeller at Zeller's Master Tire, and we want to service all your automotive needs and with no appointment needed. Zeller's Master Tire are located on Columbia Street and First Avenue, in our west side location on the corner of Red Bank and the Lord Expressway.
Spring means graduation, weddings, and other outdoor events. Whatever brings family and friends together, let Mark's Barbecue take care of the food, from appetizers to a full catering menu, including chicken, pork, ham, or brisket, plus several side dishes and a delicious pie for dessert. Mark's Barbecue can help you plan that perfect get-together, and for a larger event, go hog wild with a whole roasted pig cooked to perfection. Mark's Barbecue also offers daily lunch specials Tuesday through Thursday. Locally owned and operated, it's Mark's Barbecue, 3119 West Maryland Street. Torian Insurance is Evansville's oldest and newest insurance agency. Since 1923, this locally owned full-service insurance agency has been giving advice you can trust and answers you can understand. At Torian Insurance, they know not all insurance is created equal and invite you to discover what's different. Torian Insurance, working for you and providing peace of mind. 3000 East Division Street or phone 812-424-5503. Visit their new website at torianinsurance.com. Tell them Dan Agurski sent you. An Evansville tradition for more than 50 years, Leroy's Tavern at 2659 Mount Vernon Avenue is a great place to watch all the games. And Leroy's also offers a delicious menu of sandwiches and pizzas. And don't forget about free soup Saturday every week while it lasts. Leroy's daily lunch special is just $7. And Busch Light drafts are just $1 Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Leroy's also has karaoke every Friday and Saturday night starting at 9. And don't forget about the family room, open to all ages. Food, family, and sports. It's Leroy's Tavern. The USI Baseball alumni want to wish Coach Archuleta and the team a successful season in 2022. Todd DeWeese, Steve Grease, Jeremy Jones, Larry Nall, Steve Ricketts, and Craig Shoebridge are former players who wish the team the best of luck as they pursue their third national championship. Also wishing the team great success in their last year of Division II are former players Ryan Bertram, Andrew Cope, Kyle Kemp, Brent Weinzapple, and Gene World. The USI Baseball alumni say, go Eagles and have a great year.
Welcome back. Tracy Archuleta on Baseball here on this Monday night. Our next show is going to be 2 weeks from tonight, April the 18th, back here at the Rooftop. And during this segment, pleasure to have with us Corey Edwards of the Tri-State Hot Stove League. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple of months. But, so how are things going?
Things are great. We got the championship tonight at Doc, so we busy night. It's been a busy month, so
yep.
Fun to wrap it up.
All right, so Tri-State Hot Stove League. Just tell us a little bit, certainly, with Major League Baseball getting started this week. High school baseball started last week. College baseball has been going now for about 6 weeks. So what's new with the Tri-State Hot Stove League?
Well, we just went through a venue change for our big Night of Memories this year. We had our event size in January, and we did it at UE this year instead of the 4-H, and I think that was a positive change. Had a pretty good night. And then usually we give all of our grants that come from the proceeds that night. It'll probably be in mid-April. We'll start giving those out. So all the baseball coaches by then have used up all their money on, you know, supplies to get their fields ready, and they like that little jolt of money we send them, you know, in mid-April.
So all of the proceeds for the Tri-State, I mean, as long as this organization, I remember back in the day, you know, when Bourbon and Greece and everybody had it, and, you know, initially it was all, I don't know how many years, to just kind of help renovate Bossy Field. And then now it's kind of like scholarship, whether it went to scholarships for graduating seniors, and then now is it just for like local area baseball programs?
Well, we do have an annual scholarship we give out to one baseball player continuing his career in college. Kahneman Award, which goes all the way back to, I think, Brad Wilkerson was the first, all the way to Henry Brown last year. And but from the United Memories proceeds, it used to be Friends of Bossy Field,
right.
It was to renovate Bossy Field. When the EVFC kind of took over that, they sort of slipped into just supporting the local baseball, softball programs. Obviously, as everybody here knows, the baseball programs really kind of take care of their own facilities, which is expensive, whereas, you know, football and basketball, they just show up and the field's good to go. It's cut by the, you know, all the people in charge. Baseball's got to do all their own work, so we try to help, you know, facilitate some of that financially.
Well, yeah, it's like today I was talking to Jeremy Jones about we're supposed to do the North and Wrights game tomorrow night, and, you know,
what a scumbag.
I called Jeremy about 2:30, and it's like the phone rang and rang, and then finally, like, this loud noise in the background. I'm like, where are you? He goes, well, I'm cutting grass.
Probably during second period or something. Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, he's the head coach. It's like, okay, wasn't there like a custodian out there that does all that? He goes, no, we don't let them anywhere near the baseball.
Well, yeah, well, I remember from my time in the I don't want to throw anyone under the bus or anything, but from my time coaching, I remember we didn't want just anyone who wasn't involved to be doing the cut. They sort of sloppily just get it done as quick as they can, probably because no one ever told them any different, but. Yeah, so everybody sort of takes care of their own, and pretty much everybody uses their own facility now anyway. So,
oh, yeah, that's really great.
It just alleviates some of that for them.
Well, let me ask you this, just with this Tri-State Hot Stove League, I mean, the list of guests that you guys have had over the years is just really, really impressive. How difficult is it to make, and when do you start, Corey, reaching out to potential guests of the Tri-State Hot Stove League, like for the 2023 event?
Well, it's certainly not easy to do. More and more now, it takes just a lot of money to do. But we just have a lot of people who have a lot of different connections. We've used several different people who know a guy, who knows a person, and that's how we've always sort of gotten everyone. But we start now. I mean, we're already working on 2023 now. And we start kind of pie in the sky first. And when those break down, it's who we can get if we're still searching in October. But, it's just we use everyone. We have some connections with the Cardinals, obviously, because that always does well here in Evansville. It's just if you know someone that wants to come, let's get it done. You got someone in mind?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, though, and we were talking with Andy about this, you know, as far as recruiting it, you know, you always have the players in Major League Baseball organization that have local ties, and every year there are always 4 to 5 guys that are at least at – Single A all the way up to Triple A are playing in the organization. Only, you know, last year when you had Montgomery in, or this year when you had Montgomery in. But it's just this area with regard to the local area talent that is in Major League Baseball organizations every year, it's just very impressive.
It actually is amazing considering. Yeah. We're not a large city, but it seems like we've had a sustained sort of Major League Baseball presence forever. And what's probably most impressive about that is how much they're willing to give back to the community. It seems like anytime we ask anything obviously Donnie's been a part of our group for a long time, but you know, this year Andy Bennett was involved and Jamie Carroll gets involved. Aaron Barrett's telling us all these guys that he can try to get for us. He's got he promised Juan Soto's coming next year, which I'll believe it when I see it, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, it's been really impressive how much this community seems to find the way to the majors and then remain involved in the community.
So in addition to the big night that you have, where you bring in the players and autographs and the auction and all of that, any other events throughout the year the Tri-State Hot Stove League sponsors to just kind of build the coffers up a little bit?
We do have a golf scramble every year, which pretty much takes care of our scholarship. We're trying to add some program, you know, do some more like hot stove night at the USI baseball game, which we'll do. We'll have a U of E baseball game. We're going to try to maybe, depending on where some of the minor leaguers that we have, if someone hops up in Bowling Green, maybe we'll take a bus trip over to watch them play, or wherever Eichhoff might be, maybe we'll go see him pitch. So we're trying to do more of that and just be basically anytime there's something sports related in the community, mainly bat and ball sports. We kind of want to be involved, or we want people to think about us, you know, be synonymous with basically baseball in town.
And how do people maybe they get involved? Because certainly you guys are always looking to increase your membership.
Absolutely, yes. So we have meetings. They're not on specific days, but we try to, you can follow our social media, which is Tri-State Hot Stove League on Facebook or hotstoveleague.org is our website, which we try to keep that updated. But yeah, like Andy Dillo, we finally got him to, he agreed to come to a meeting next time, which is always a big get for us. We've been trying to get him for a long time. So yeah, you can play in our golf scramble or just come to the Night of Memories and, you know, bring a couple $100 and leave it all there.
So do you have a date for the 2023 Night of Memories?
No, but it'll be in January on a Saturday. We were still trying to work with UV on that date, probably second or third weekend, probably.
Good deal. Good to see you.
Hey, it's good to see you. I appreciate everything you guys do for local sports. This 97.7 is great. I mean, I don't know. I enjoy keeping up with some of the stories you guys tell us that I probably wouldn't have not known otherwise.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, with Tracy and all the coaches and all the things we do, I mean, it's our pleasure. It's just it's a blast. This is a great sports town, and we're just glad to be a small part of it. But, yeah, I appreciate you coming by, Corey. Thank you.
You're the best.
All right. Thanks. Corey Edwards, we'll come back. Tracy Archuleta will rejoin us. This is Tracy Archuleta on baseball here at ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Rack.
Spring means graduation, weddings, and other outdoor events. Whatever brings family and friends together, let Mark's Barbecue take care of the food. From appetizers to a full catering menu, including chicken, pork, ham, or brisket, plus several side dishes and a delicious pie for dessert. Mark's Barbecue can help you plan that perfect get-together, and for a larger event, go hog wild with a whole roasted pig cooked to perfection. Mark's Barbecue also offers daily lunch specials Tuesday through Thursday. Locally owned and operated, it's Mark's Barbecue, 3119 West Maryland Street. An Evansville tradition for more than 50 years, Leroy's Tavern at 2659 Mount Vernon Avenue is a great place to watch all the games. And Leroy's also offers a delicious menu of sandwiches and pizzas. And don't forget about free soup Saturday every week while it lasts. Leroy's daily lunch special is just $7. And Busch Light drafts are just $1 Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Leroy's also has karaoke every Friday and Saturday night starting at 9. And don't forget about the family room open to all ages. Food, family, and sports. It's Leroy's Tavern.
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Rooftop is home to this year's Tracy Archuleta on Baseball show on ESPN Radio. The Rooftop, located in the heart of downtown Evansville at 112 Northwest Martin Luther King Boulevard, is open 7 days a week with a full-service menu, ranging from delicious appetizers, huge sandwiches, and several specialty pizzas. The Rooftop serves up house specials every day, as well as a wide selection of both draft and bottled beer. There is also a special menu before and after downtown events. The Rooftop Restaurant, dine in or carry out. We'll see you on the roof. The USI Baseball alumni want to wish Coach Archuleta and the team a successful season in 2022. Todd DeWeese, Steve Grease, Jeremy Jones, Larry Nall, Steve Ricketts, and Craig Shoebridge are former players who wish the team the best of luck as they pursue their third national championship. Also wishing the team great success in their last year in Division II are former players Ryan Bertram, Andrew Cope, Kyle Kemp, Brent Weinzapfel, and Gene World. The USI Baseball alumni say, go Eagles and have a great year.
Welcome back to the Rooftop, final segment of this edition of Tracy Archuleta Baseball. Again, we'll be back 2 weeks from tonight, April the 18th. We've got a couple of shows back-to-back in May, on May 2nd and May 9th. Just a little bit about your guests, certainly tonight with Andy being here. And, you know, obviously you like to keep your coaches as long as you can, but when people have opportunities to move themselves up and become a head coach, I know you were 100% behind that.
Oh, 100%. We were lucky to get Lash when we did. The experience that he has in the game, the knowledge that he has of being able to, as a head coach, you want guys that can take something, I mean, hitting or the pitching or whatever it is. And Lash, I knew whatever we gave him, especially on the recruiting end, one of the best recruiters around at any level, you could give him it, and you knew that he was going to do his job. I mean, and it shows at Oakland City. I mean, what Lash has done in the, was it 2 years, right?
Yes.
In the 2 years to be able to have a program that he's already chomping at that bit to move ahead of Indiana Southeast. I mean, that shows a lot just about him, and he's a baseball guy. I mean, he's a diehard. He'll coach anywhere, and he loves it, and he's all about the kids, and it's great. I mean, I couldn't be happier for him, and his future's high. Whatever he decides, if he stays at Oakland City, they're going to be a powerhouse. If he moves on, they're going to win. I mean, he's a good man, a really good man.
So, did you remember when Ethan said that came down to visit? You said, "Well, they got three of the shortstops, and you won't play that position."
I don't remember that. Ethan, in his freshman year, I mean, Sam Griggs and other guys that we had at that position, I mean, he had to go through some, hey, I'm the freshman and I'm going to listen, and he did a really good job. And the play, hey, there's two things. Regional, we're at Springfield, and there was a ball hit, and I don't remember it exactly, but a ball was hit to him. And supposedly it hit the lip and went left or right or whatever. And I'm coming out to the mound, and I'm not happy. Like, how can you not feel it? It hit the lip. And they gave him so much grief about that. And then Kyle Griffin, we're playing Bellarmine in a whatever it is, 15-inning game or whatever else. There's bases. I think there's either first and second or bases loaded. We have one out. We're up one run. And Kyle throws whatever pitch, fastball. And he laces it, and it goes off of Griff's butt and goes right to Ethan. Ethan fields it, steps on second, throws the ball. We win. We end up going to carry. I mean, just the experience that he's had and the ability and the opportunity that he's been able to play at carry, and hopefully we can give him another opportunity to go back there. I mean, Ethan is definitely one of the players that – when you look back at that, has had a great career and one of the better players that we've had. I mean, he's done a good job. He's played second. He's played short. And whatever you ask him to do, he's going to do.
Well, the thing of it is, too, that's impressive with Ethan, the fact that, certainly you've had your fair share of guys that have gone on and played and gotten paid to play the game. But when you got a guy like him that's, already got his future kind of in front of him after baseball, knows what he wants to do, and whether or not he ever picks up another baseball after this season is over, it obviously makes you and everybody around the baseball program happy, because here's a guy that knows what he wants to do. He's already got a job lined up after school.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young man that is taking advantage of his opportunities. Every summer ball program that he's went to, from Canada to, South Carolina, and they've loved him. They've enjoyed it. He's enjoyed the experience, and he's done really well, with Peninsula Pilots, I mean, which is a premier program. He went to Canada, and they loved him there. And it's, I mean, a lot of character, a lot about his family, his mom and dad, great people, and raised him the right way, and we're very fortunate to have it.
All right. I know you're.
So now we have to lead into Corey.
Well, I want to say this about the Tri-State Hot Stove League. I mean, obviously, it's been a great organization, whether it's Friends of Boston Field, Tri-State Hot Stove League. I know that you're a member of that. And I'll just say this, as long as I've been involved in covering high school sports in this town, which has been an awful, awful long time, the collection of baseball coaches that have been here since the mid-'80s, long before you got here, I mean, this group of local and area high school baseball coaches, I don't care what school they're from, they're just great guys that love the game, love coaching these kids at whatever level it is, and it's just, this is a sport in Southwest Indiana that you just got to be proud to be a part of.
Me and Coach Weaver went to our first meeting at the Hot Stove, and when we went there, it was at the pub with Bubbles.
Yeah.
And 60, 70 people. I mean, tons of people there. And we were just like in awe of what the organization is doing, how it's supporting the baseball and softball programs, and how everybody gets involved. And, Larry Borman has been a big part of the Hot Stove, and him stepping down and now Ryan taking over. But the amount of effort that's gone into the Hot Stove to support the area athletics and baseball and softball. And the big thing is, like Paulie Grease said, baseball is always the one that gets the short end of the stick, from field maintenance or whatever it is. And the Hot Stove is able to help all high school programs and everything, and the people that we bring in. I mean, from the big leaguers to the minor leagues and seeing how they go, it's such a special event. It's such a good organization because not only is it the youth, but it's the premier. I mean, we're Goose Gossage and Andrew Jones and those guys, they didn't leave U of V. They sat in the back room talking baseball, and they can't wait to come back. I mean, that says a lot about our community. We know that because we deal with it every day, but it's just truly a special event and everything that goes on. So very happy to be a part of that.
All right, so we'll wrap it up. Springfield, now you go there. Boy, you look at the standings here, Tracy, and, you know, Springfield's got the best overall record at 20-6, conference record, whatever that means. They're in last place in the Blue Division. Certainly that can change over the course of week, and we hope they're still
in last place.
Well,
we hope it doesn't. Yeah,
after this weekend. So I think, you know, normally when you go to Springfield, the wind's blowing out about 40 miles an hour, pop up, and they're just hitting home runs all over the place. So what would be the keys this weekend to getting at least a split, maybe getting 3 out of 4?
The keys this weekend is our ability to what we talked about before is when that two-run home run goes out, to being able to make pitches, when they score, we have to counter. I mean, and that's the key. I mean, we're starting to develop a system and starting to develop a role, and I hope we can go out and play with what we do well, and that is the short game, the running, and being able to put pressure on them, because that's what we're different. We're different than a lot of teams because a lot of teams are just going to sit back and hit. And that's what we have to do. And again, I want to give one more call out because hey, Toby and Melissa Wolf have been here for every show so far, and he has his working distributors Busch Light sweatshirt on. You got the Sheriff Ashworth going, and hey, they've been great supporters of USI baseball in the community. So,
All right, well, good luck again, Dan.
Yeah, and thank you.
We'll see you next week, the home game with Oakland City. All right, special thanks to all of our guests tonight we had on the show. We've got the national championship game coming up next. Kansas, North Carolina for Coach Archuleta. Everybody here at the rooftop, I'm Dan Ogerski. This has been Tracy Archuleta on baseball on ESPN 97.7 FM. The Rock.
You have been listening to Tracy Archuleta on baseball on WREF 97.7 FM ESPN Radio. This hour-long show featuring the head coach of the University of Southern Indiana, Screaming Eagles, and members of this year's team is brought to you by The Rooftop Restaurant, Master Tire, and by Banterra Bank. Tracy Archuleta on baseball has also been brought to you by Mark's Barbecue and by Torian Insurance, Andy Dillo Agent. Tracy Archuleta on baseball has been another sports presentation of Evansville Sports Programming Incorporated and WREF 97.7 FM ESPN Radio.